Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gasliners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Charleston Gasliners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. I am Randy Bergen, along with the big guy, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter. Guys, last night it was football, and boy, have we got a lot to get into. Coach, good morning to you, and I know you're ready to get into some scores.
Good morning, Randy. Good morning, Mark. Good
morning.
that's genteel, isn't it? Genteel.
Good morning. Glad to be with you today.
And congratulations on a win.
Yeah,
last
you
night.
Got a nice win last night.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tell you what, guys, let's get through these scores. Yes. Let's do this. And folks, by the way, any score in the state of Alabama, I mean it now. Any score in the state of Alabama, we've got it. If you want to text us, you can text us at 251-343-0106.
Right.
And we'll give you any score in the state of Alabama. We're going to start with 7A last night. Of course, in the Alabama High School Athletic Association Kickoff Classic at Crampton Bowl, a great game. Auburn 17, Hoover 14. Beaufort, Georgia 38, Thompson 7.
Wow.
Was that an upset to the people in Georgia? It was not.
To not there. It is here because I heard it last night. I was like, goodness gracious. Yeah. What in the world is Beaufort, Georgia?
They're absolutely.
they must be unbelievable.
And Clay was telling me about their facilities, and I'm telling you, they're second to none nowhere in the country. So let's go through the rest of these 7A scores. Central of Phoenix City, 37. Hewitt Trustful, 21. Dothan, 45. Carroll of Ozark, 19. Congratulations to Jed Kennedy. First win as the head coach of the Dothan Wolves. Enterprise 41, Bay Florida 7. Congratulations again to Ben Blackman. First win as the head coach at Enterprise. Fairhope 34, Spanish Fort 28. What a game that was. Nolan Phillips intercepted a pass for Fairhope as time expired and returned it into the end zone for a touchdown.
Did you see the run?
Yeah.
I didn't have it seen. I heard it was unbelievable.
It was weaving in and out. And, boy, it was just a great win.
I was just talking to Al Ernest from Fairhope, and he told me, he says, we saw him pick it. We were starting to talk, you know, on the headset about overtime.
Fall down.
He said, hey, he's going to score.
Yeah, he did. Great win. Great win for Tim Carter and the Fairhope Pirates. Grissom, 34. Russellville, 21. LaGrange, Georgia, 49. Smith Station, 30. Oak Mountain, 23. Northridge, 14. Prattville, 34. Foley, 20. Spain Park, 14. Calera, 10. Sparkman, 77. Good Hazel grief. Green, 9. Tuscaloosa County, 44. Central Tuscaloosa, 0.
Good win. In Class 6A, Athens, 49. East Limestone, 14. Benjamin Russell, 41. Sylacauga, 7. Smitty Grider gets his first win there for the Wildcats. At Brookwood, 59. Holt, 2. Buckhorn, 29. Madison County, 14. Carrollton, Georgia, 69. Gadsden City, 7. Chilton County, 30. Bibb County, 24. Clay Chalkville, 48. Briarwood Christian, nothing. Coleman, 13. Mars Hill Bible, 10. Decatur, 65. May Jemison, 0. Fort Payne, 20. Scottsboro, 6. Gardendale, 41. James Clemens, 34. Hartsel, 46. Austin, 17. Hillcrest, 28. Hillcrest, Tuscaloosa, 28. Pike Road, 21. Homewood, 38. John Carroll Catholic, 20. Jackson Olin, 14. Pelham, 10. McAdory, 34. Oxford, 21. Minor, 49. Huffman, 25. Mountain Brook, 24. Vestavia Hills, 14. Muscle Shoals, 31. Bob Jones, 7. Opelika, 29. Callaway, Georgia, 28. Pinson Valley, 34. Florence, 14. Saraland, 43. Daphne, 23. Shades Valley, 20. Stanhope Elmore, 13. Theodore, 32. Baker, 3. Wetumpka, 27. Jeff Davis, 10. And Woodlawn, 18. Bessemer City, 15.
All right, let's take a look at Class 5A. Arab defeats Albertville 47-14. Beauregard 21. Selma 16. Brewer 20. Hansville 13. Centerpoint gets the win 55-37 over Jasper. Demopolis 41. American Christian 16. Douglas 37. Susan Moore 7. Elmore County 35. Marbury 17. Fairview 51. Columbia 0. As you mentioned, Gulf Shores 34. St. Michael's Catholic 27, Gunnersville 21, Southside Gadsden 7, Headland 38, Geneva 26, Hovel with a win over Fultondale 55-8, Lawrence County 24, Danville 6, Leeds 21, Mortimer Jordan 7, Lincoln 54, Talladega 0, Moody 55, Pell City 21, Parker 35, Fairfield 12, Pleasant Grove 51, Paul Bryant, 8. Ramsey defeats Hueytown 41-27. Rehoboth, 41. Ashford, 6. Sardis, 16. DAR, 14. Shelby County, 14. West Blockton, 7. Tallahassee defeats Realtown 37-13. UMS Wright with a very good game, 21-14 over St. Paul's last night. Viger defeats Blount, a close one, 7-0. And Williamson defeats Mary Montgomery 21-20. N-O-T.
In Class 4A, Andalusia 35, Op 7, Anniston 52, Walter Wilburn 18, Asheville 26, St. Clair County 21, Bayside Academy 14, Alberta 13, Brooks 48, Colbert County 21, Bullock County 33, Keith 16, Cherokee County 20, Modell, Georgia 0, Claiborne County at Mount Zion, Georgia's postponed will be played today at 4 p.m., Deschler 42, Madison Academy 35, Escambia County 21, Cottage Hill Christian 14, Etowah 35, Springville 0, Good Hope 6, West Point 0, Hanley 22, Valley 20, Jacksonville 27, Boaz 7, Montgomery Catholic 42, McGill-Tulin Catholic 21, Munford 28, Childersburg 14, Northside 35, Hale County 0, Oneonta 47, Cleveland 14, Priceville 20, Plainview 8, St. James 42, Montgomery Academy 14, T.R. Miller 22, Hillcrest Evergreen 21, West Limestone 27, Ardmore 21, Westminster Christian 44, Lee of Huntsville 23, West Morgan 41, Randolph 21, and White Plains 14, Ranburn 7.
Well, we go to 3A. Brindley Mountain defeats Cherokee 26-20. Chickasaw 8. LaFleur 0. Clements 48. Holly Pond 34. Dadeville 48. B.B. Comer 21. XL 22. B.C. Rain 18. Fayette County 28. Cordova 24. Flomington, big winner, 50. St. Luke's Episcopal 15. Geraldine 36. Coosa Christian 7. Gordo 50, Sipsey Valley 7, Houston Academy 28, Wicksburg 0, J.B. Pennington 19, Hayden 12, Lauderdale County 54, Tanner 30, Mobile Christian 35, Pike Liberal 3, Northside Methodist 42, Houston County 20, Phil Campbell 36, Hackleburg 8, Prattville Christian 25, Billingsley 14, Randolph County 20, Fayetteville 8, Sachs 41, and Ohatchee 15, Tarrant 27, Talladega County Central 6, Trinity Presbyterian 34, BT Washington 16, Vinemont 46, Falkville 40, Westbrook Christian 38, St. Paul the Second Catholic 3, Wilcox Central at Sumter Central canceled, and Winfield 28, Dora 22.
In Class 2A, Abbeville 26, Beulah 0, Aliceville 55, Pickens County 12, Arrington 60, Dale County 28, Cold Springs 36, Curry 14, Gaston 64, Ashbury 42, Goshen 38, Daleville 19, Greene County 30, Greensboro 24, Hatton 30, Wilson 19, Highland Home 28, Providence Christian 6, Horseshoe Bend 14, Wadley 6, Lamar County 42, South Lamar 20, Lexington 34, Colbert Heights 0, Locust Fork 58, Appalachian 32, Petula Charter from Georgia 52, Barber County 0, Red Bay 22, Hamilton 0, Hamilton 20, excuse me. Let's see, Sheffield 47, Elkmont 20, Sullivan 36, Oakman 18, Tharptown 28, Shoals Christian 14, Thorsby 44, Jemison 33, Tuscaloosa Academy 45, Holy Spirit Catholic 12, Vincent 41, Ragland 26, West End 63, Galesville 26, Whitesburg Christian 47, Woodville 8, Winston County 29, Addison 8.
Otagaville 24, RC Hatch 18, Cedar Bluff 22, Winterboro 20, Decatur Heritage 24, Section 22, Donahoe 31, Weaver 28, Elba 40, New Brockton 8, Georgiana 18, W.S. Neal 14, Hubbardville 18, University Charter School 8, and we'll get out of here with that one.
You were trying to squeeze it. You were trying to squeeze it. All right, look, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll finish up the scores. A lot to get into today. Thanks for hanging out with us right here on Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Welcome back to Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report. Randy Berg and Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Coach, finish up with those scores.
J.U. Blackshire 50, J.F. Shields 0, Kinston 34, Sampson 12, Linden 14, Choctaw County 0, Marengo 34, Washington County 8, Meat 36, Maplesville 12, Millery 30, Citronelle 14, Pleasant Home 41, A.L. Johnson 6, Spring Garden 40, Sand Rock 8, Valley Head 45, North Sand Mountain 33, Verbena 38, Central Coosa 8, Victory Christian 31, Woodland 6, and Waterloo. Boy, Brilliant met their Waterloo last night.
Oh, they did.
53-8, and that's every score in the state of Alabama, not including jamborees and scrimmages in week zero. And look, if you want to know a score, text us at 343-0106, and we will give you any score you want, because I promise you, at 2 o'clock this morning when I finished, I had every score that could come across the wire.
So, golly.
I'm just telling you, we got them all, folks. What a great night it was, guys.
It was.
No doubt. 251-343-0106. Coach, good win for Bayside last night. Went over to Alberta. Talk a little bit about that ball game.
It was a really, I don't know, it was a good win for us, but it was an ugly football game. There was fumbles and penalties and it came down to late in the game. You know, it was a game of who's going to make a turnover here or there, and we were able to cash in on a couple of things that happened in the kicking game and score to go up 14-7. And then Alberta, you know, Coach McDaniel just does a fantastic job of teaching his kids how to never give up and never quit, and it's 14-7 with about 5 minutes to go. They drive the length of the field and score with a minute 52 to go in the game and go for two, trying to win the game there. It's 14-13, and we were able to make a stop there on about the half-yard line. And I got to give a shout-out to Wills Norton, a little 145-pound free safety. He came barreling down there.
Did he really?
Made a hit. And you remember Reed Norton?
Absolutely.
That's his younger brother.
Okay.
And made a hit along with Tate Moore and Teed Broadhead. And it was a big moment for those kids, you know, and to make that stop. Then we got the onside kick. And we made that interesting as well. And then Burke, we popped it up in the air. And then Burke Brown caught it. One of our sophomore outside linebackers made it and covered it up. And we were able to seal the win. But it was a hard-fought game. You know, it's one of those things, Rick, where – I want to talk about this sometime. I think we have worked so hard to make the seasons longer for some reason. You know, back when we were young, Rick, we played after Labor Day.
Right.
And now we're playing the 19th of August. And one of the biggest issues you have is heat.
That's
and
right.
I mean, and we play in the deep south, and smaller schools that run into these with that, when you've got, you know, 40 players, you run into situations where, I mean, we don't fight this as much as we've ever done. Last night we had cramps, people cramping, people having to come out, you know, and it was crazy. I just wonder with all this talk about how the heat is worse than it's ever been the last several years, and it wasn't heat last night, it was humidity. That was the problem. Their temperature at game time was in the low 80s, but the humidity was unbelievable. It was so thick. But I just wonder sometimes if we have done it to where we backed football up so far that it's so hot when you play. I mean, kids have a hard time getting through some of it, you know.
No matter how well conditioned you are going into the first game.
But I don't know, you know.
Well, but it's not going to change. I'll tell you why it's not going to change. The desire to have state champions play five rounds of playoffs and money.
It's money. I wish we could reinvestigate that thing because we've had a lot of kids have real problems with heat. And so that worries me, you know, and I know we all work our hardest to try to do the best to keep kids hydrated and keep them, you know, out of danger. But, you know, sometimes they just get in danger. I mean, that just happens.
And
just
particularly in a situation like Bayside Academy's in, a lot of small schools playing kids both ways, every kicking team, every team, punt team, kickoff team, punt coverage,
never come
kickoff
off the
return, extra point. Extra point block, they just never come off the field. But now, in that defense, let me say this. There's a lot of us that played high school football that never came off the field. And we conditioned too now. We conditioned too. And very rarely, I mean, we didn't do a lot of cramp. At Sylacauga High School, I can tell you, we didn't cramp a whole lot. We didn't. I can remember Jeff Davis under Billy Livens. They very rarely cramped. Everywhere I've coached, it just seems to get worse and worse each year as far as cramping and stuff like that. It's got to have something to do with diet. It's got to.
Well, it has something to do with diet. And it has something to do with, I think, where our society now, our kids, stay indoors a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not as conditioned to
absolutely
to the heat as we were as kids because there was nothing to do inside.
No.
You know, there was.
If you were inside,
that was a problem. Mama had you
working. That's right. That was a problem.
That was a problem. You're exactly right. That's a good point.
We would go down to the ballpark and play home run derby.
Absolutely.
You know?
In 100 degrees.
In 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
Yeah.
We were out there, but that's just the way it is. But anyway, that's kind of something that's been bothering me a little bit. But, you know, it is the way it is. But, man, I'll tell you what. High school football on Friday night, the Genesis Room on Saturday morning, a cup of coffee with two of the best guys I know. You can't hardly beat it.
And I got you set up with the TVs. We got five TVs on the big one.
We got golf.
We got some fishing going on. I got coach some tennis.
We got some college football going on. Yes.
I mean, what you want, coach?
Hey, next week it starts, buddy. Saturday's all day TV. And there ain't no golf on Saturday. No way. No.
Not next Saturday.
No, sir.
It's college football.
No way.
Is it full day of football
full
next Saturday?
Day. Next Saturday. Kicks it. It's a kick.
When is the
– Is it next Saturday?
Yeah. I thought it was the next Saturday.
This is the last Saturday that we won't have college football.
I'm not going to doubt Rick. He knows.
No. I'm just telling you. It's the last Saturday. We're going to have some college football next Saturday. I don't know how much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think the SEC kicks
off until the third.
September 3rd. That's when that really gets going.
Well, and I know that's what everybody's interested in. But what I'm saying is.
But it's college football.
It's college football.
That's right.
And we're going to watch it.
I mean,
we're going to watch it. Randy, I'm sorry. Let's talk about these locals. Can we do that real quick? Alma Bryant didn't play last night. I think they've got a jamboree. Baker lost to, I think, one of the best teams in Metro Mobile, Baldwin County, any area. I think Theodore and Mark, we've talked about this. I think Eric's got as good a team as there is in South Alabama. In 6A, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
They are.
And so, Baldwin County, they played a jamboree. Bayside Academy won. BC Rain lost. Blunt under their new coach, and I'll tell you his name in just a few minutes. I've got it all over the place. A young guy, and not on this sheet, but I'll find it. But Josh Harris. Blunt lost 7-0 to Viger. Big win for Viger over there. Chickasaw won
8-0
over LaFleur. Citronelle got beat. Cottage Hill got beat. Daphne got beat. Davidson, I do not remember seeing a score.
I didn't either.
Okay. Alberta loses to Bayside last night. Fairhope, Tim Carter had a great win last night, over and almost an overtime win. But Nolan Phillips returned an interception as the game was running down. I want to talk about that kid that's quarterback at Fairhope.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, they're saying he's the most underrated quarterback in the state.
That's
I'm
what
not so
saying.
Sure that he's not. He's pretty doggone good. You better find a way to contain him, because he gets on corners and then he wigwags all. I mean, he's good. He's good. He's savvy. You can tell he's got it in his – I mean, look at his background.
Yeah,
his granddaddy was W.C. Majors, and
his granddaddy's Vince
granddaddy's
Booth.
Granddaddy's Vince Booth. His great-grandfather's
W.C.
Majors.
Right.
And so, boy, he's a good, good player. Faith Academy didn't play. Foley got beat at Prattville. Gulf Shores defeated – they won. We're going to have Mark Hutchbeth on in a few minutes. But the local teams did fairly well. Somebody asked me about MGM. Zach Gosen got beat late by Williamson.
That's right. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll set the table for you. Got some great guests coming up right here on PSR.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Glad to have you on board with us. Week zero. Boy, we've got a lot of high school football to talk about. Speaking of which, let me go ahead and set the table for you. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll have Coach Mark Hudspeth. He's the head football coach for the Dolphins of Gulf Shores.
Gulf Shores.
Get a win. They got a win on Thursday night.
Right.
So
against St. Michael's.
In Fairhope.
Right.
And that was a good game.
Yeah, heck of a game.
Phillip Rivers there. We'll talk a little bit about that. At 9:15, we're going to visit with our good friend Jeff Price. He is the color analyst for Friday Night Rivals over in the Panhandle of Florida, a good friend of ours. He is what we're going to call our Panhandle correspondent.
There you go.
So we'll talk soon.
Don't they crank up next week?
I think they crank up next week. That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. And, of course, I'll be partnering up with him on some of those Friday Night Rival games
right.
as well. And then at the bottom of the hour, 9:30, we're going to be talking with Cole Blaylock. He's a an awesome football player for UMS.
He does it all. There's nothing he can't play for UMS. He's a gifted athlete, great young man, comes from a really good family, and, man, he is fun to watch play football.
He's Mr. Everything. There's no doubt. We'll get with Coach here in just a minute. But I want to ask you, okay, Mark, here you go. Week zero, you've played your first ball game. As you go into this upcoming week, getting prepared for your next ball game, which for Bayside happens to be on the road again, what's the first thing you start looking at? I mean, I know you break down the film, you do all of that, but where do you say, hey, we got a win, but boy, it was an ugly win.
It was, and we've got a lot of things we've got to get repaired. And so what most throughout my career, I've noticed that most big changes, and all coaches will tell you this, most big changes in high school football happen after your first actual contest, where you kind of look and see, you know, we're not as good there as we thought we were, or we need to fix this, or this guy played better. You know, what do we need to move? And there's going to be a lot of changes. I know one of the things that you have to change is trying to get more guys on your kicking teams and get some of your guys that are playing both ways off the field. To give them a chance to catch their breath and get rehydrated on the sideline, what have you. So there's a lot of changes that take place this coming weekend going into before Monday's practice. You better have some changes made that's going to help you improve. That's one thing that Coach Savarese always said. He always wanted to play a good opponent in that first ball game. Phil Lasmy's the same way, and so is Terry and Jack, the guys that I've coached under in my time, and all of them had the same, play a good, tough, hard opponent the first ball game so you know. You don't have a false sense of security about what you're doing and who you got playing what rolling into the meat of your schedule. So this is a big week. It's a big week to make some changes, fix some problems that you got, and get ready for the next region play is not far away, so you want to be ready when you get there.
Yeah, you know, one of the things too, as you look at that first ball game, we were talking about cramps and things like that. Talk about some of the injuries. Did y'all have any injuries last night? Do we know of any injuries, major injuries?
Not anything major. We had some bumps and bruises. We had some. Mainly it was cramps. That's what we faced last night was cramps, which is highly unusual for us. We don't have many. We've had one or two guys that get cramps, but last night we had five or six during the game.
But, Rick, that's where the trainer comes in. I mean, because I know at UMS, I know at Bayside, at every school, conditioning is very important, especially during this opening season or the first game because of so much heat.
Well, you know, in today's world, you have your football program set up where you condition most of the time players are conditioning during the day in their PE period. We don't have at UMS, we don't have an athletic period as such as we used to have years ago. So coaches are taking those players out as they come to their classes and they're conditioning them during class and then they condition them after school as well. Trainers play such a vital role for a lot of reasons, but obviously for any type of injury or anything like that, they're on the scene daily. They're there all day long. But the hydration part, generally at our place, you go into our training room and there's liquids. You know, you want to hydrate all week. You can't wait to hydrate
on Friday,
on Wednesday or Thursday. You just can't do it. So you're right, guys. I mean, injuries and hydration they go hand in hand.
Yep.
They do. And when you're not hydrated, you don't perform.
You can't.
You just don't perform at maximum level. So, we have I think as good a one as there is in Stacy Harrelson with Encore, but schools around the state, everybody's got one now. Everybody.
You know, it's invaluable to have them. They're Beth Johnston's our trainer. She works for Encore as well, and she's been at Bayside. Gosh, I don't know how many years she's been there, and just does a fantastic job with all of our sports. And we want to thank Encore for that. We also have Dr. Jay Savage, who was there with us last night, and he's Bayside Orthopedics, their group, who's one of our sponsors of our show, and we had them on last week talking about this very thing. And Dr. Savage is there on the sideline with our kids last night helping them and, you know, anything that's going on. So you have medical people there to help
as
a coach. They take that part, which is their expertise, and help you coach the ball game where they tell you where they can or can't go. So
that's right.
It's a big
deal. They're important. There's no
very,
question.
Very important.
Hey, I want to talk about one of the games. And Coach, I know it goes back to a place that you coached. So we're going to talk a little Central Alabama and South Alabama in that Prattville-Foley game. And, boy, I'll tell you, Foley found themselves down, but they rallied back, couldn't get the win. But, wow, what a good game that was, huh?
Well, first of all, anytime you go into Stanley Jensen Stadium, you're down. I mean, it's a deficit. It's tough to play. It's like Rip Hughes and Dothan. I think the difference in that football game last night is I listened to Clark Stewart and Bud Poggett's son, and I can't think of Bud Poggett's son's name, but Bud Poggett, longtime defensive coordinator there at Foley, was the defensive fronts. Prattville is so doggone good up front defensively. Their front seven is what it amounts to. Their front seven is so doggone good, and they just rotate them in and out. And guys, when you talk about 7A football, that's the difference. That's the real difference. I think most schools from 4A, 5A, 6A, and 7A can put 11 good football players on the field, but they can't. They just can't. They don't have the depth in the lower levels to compete with those big schools. And
yes,
you know, that's a huge, huge advantage. A huge advantage. So, yeah, Pratt was a tough place to play. They get a big win last night over Foley. But let me tell you this, Derek Scott, he's got the formula for success at Foley. I can promise you that. And they're getting better and better. You go to Prattville and score 20 points on Prattville, you're pretty stinking good, I'll tell you that.
Done a day's work, no doubt about it.
Yep.
What do they call that little student session in the jungle?
Man, it is.
Yeah.
Let me tell you right now, that's something.
I know.
Everybody should see
I was there 20-something years ago, and I still remember. I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Right now,
And Bill Clark was the head coach there then. We went up there, and at Fairhope, it was my first year at Fairhope, and they let you know they were there right off the bat during warm-ups.
I've told this story. Spence McCracken would not bring his team to Stanley Jensen Stadium to warm up. They warmed up at the Holiday Inn out on the interstate and drove up to the stadium 5 minutes before kickoff, went right to the sidelines, fully dressed, went to the coin toss.
Right.
Pretty smart move. Pretty doggone smart move.
And was there another game that stuck out to you locally, Gulf Coast, Central Alabama?
I'm a little anxious to see how good Mobile Christian is. I really am. I think Ronnie's got a good little football team. Pike Liberal Arts was last year's state champion in AISA.
That's not a very good league, though, Mark.
But I'm just saying, they were the state champions in that league last year.
Yeah.
And they've come up now. Now, Highland Home had a good team. They played in the scrimmage last week. And Mobile Christian's got a good football team. They got a lot of guys coming back from last year. And I think they dropped back to 3A.
They did. And they played a lot of young kids last year.
They did.
So they've got some experience under their belt. And Ronnie does a great job with those guys. And there's a formula for success over there. And they start them young, play them young. Yeah. And by the time they get to be juniors and seniors,
they're ready to go.
I don't think they'll make a run for a state championship. But I think next year would be the year that you could
have them to
be right back in the thick
of
things.
Because I'll tell you, one of the games that kind of stood out to me, I think a pretty interesting game, was that Spanish Fort Fairhope game.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And I saw something last night in the Spanish Fort Fairhope game, and Chase got a little upset about it, and rightfully so. There was some, and I think the officials handled it well. Late in the game, there was some pushing and shoving, just kids tired, and there was some pushing and shoving, and usually you catch the second guy
right. That
does that. Well, in this case, the officials talked it over. The referee got the linesman, I think it was, to throw his flag after the initial flag had been thrown. So what they did was they penalized both teams, which does what?
Nullifies.
Nothing happens. And so,
but they both get a warning.
Yeah. There's your 12-year-old boy just thinking about an 18-foot putt, Randy. but I like the way the officials handled that last night. I mean, it didn't affect the outcome of the game, I don't think. But I thought Chase, as a young head coach at a pretty tough place as far as pressure, internal pressure,
right.
Because they've been so successful, I thought Chase handled it very well. Tim Carter handled it very well. They just played football.
Right.
They just went on and played football. So Spanish Fort is young. They lost their quarterback, guys, at the last minute.
Yep.
They lost their quarterback to Gulf Shores, and that's tough. A little
it
bird boy had been their starting quarterback for a couple of years. He goes to Gulf Shores, and, boy, he played really well, too, against St. Michael's the other night. So, yeah, I tell you, around the state, Randy, I've said all along, the person who's got the most pressure on him in the state of Alabama right now is Wade Waldrop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not pressure from anybody. Andy Urban, the athletic director there, is a tremendous, tremendous young man.
And you're talking about Hoover.
And Hoover, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. But at Hoover. And they were down 14-0 at half, come back in the second half and dominate the second half and lose 17-14 to a good Keith Etheridge team at Auburn.
Hey, we'll open the phone lines, 251-343-0106, if you want to jump in, ask a question or comment. This is the Prep Sports Report.
Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network. Coach, let me ask you this real quick. I know we're going to talk some more football, but, hey, you have been hitting a home run with your new daily show, Monday through Friday, HSS Today.
Yeah, it's been a great show, Randy. I'm really surprised at how much response we've got from it, too. Just about every county in the state of Alabama has been in touch with us, and all the communities that are, we're talking to coaches all over the state with high school sports today, and what we do is we tape it every night, Sunday through Thursday, talk to coaches and just get the temperature of their, you know, their community and talk about their football team, talk about the history of the school. And it's, I tell you what it is, labor of love, I can tell you.
Yeah.
It changes your life. You told me this. Your life's going to change because you're doing a daily show. It does. I mean, you got to do a lot of prep for it. You really do. And but it's been really great. And if you can, you know, if you go to hsstoday.com, you can hear coaches from all over the state talking about their football teams. And thank you for mentioning that. And I need to mention this too. You know, our buddy Braxton Counts has joined forces with one of his best buddies up in Tennessee, Jimmy Duncan. And what they do is they help businesses with governmental affair problems. And if you've got a business and you have some issues with the government trying to, you know, to figure out how to get about, going about, fixing your problem with the government in any shape, form, or fashion, give our friend Braxton Counts a call, and I promise you he'll take good care of you. And I don't have my material with me this morning, so I'm going to try to find it, and I'm going to give you Braxton's number. But Braxton is, I tell you, every day that I have a chance to go by and see him, he's helping somebody fix a problem that they've got with the government. He's connected. He's been a lobbyist. He's an attorney. And he and Jimmy Duncan both have great connections, both in Washington, D.C., and Montgomery and Knoxville, Tennessee. So just great people. You can get in touch with Braxton at 251-709-0920.
Coach, we were talking about some of the games from last night, and one of the – maybe a surprise that you saw. We mentioned at the very beginning of the show a team that is just is outstanding – getting beat. Thompson loses to a team out of Georgia, out of Buford, Georgia, in a score of 38-7.
Well, you know, I'm going to get Clay to go see them play because I want to see something. We can watch them on the National Federation Network. And maybe one Friday night I can catch them on the network. But to beat a team like Thompson with that kind of score – I mean, there's something special.
Something special.
Because
no doubt.
Thompson's got no less than five SEC players.
Right.
They've already got, three commitments. Peter Woods, who I think is the best defensive lineman in the country, he's committed to Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
They got a secondary player that's committed to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And they got three or four other kids that are going to play in the SEC, but they're young.
Right.
And, I mean, Thompson's pretty stinking good, guys.
Like a little college.
Yeah. Oh, it is like a college. It's better. It's got better facilities than most small colleges in Alabama.
Yep.
And Buford, they say, has got
better than Thompson.
Better than Thompson. So, you know.
And Thompson's the class of the Alabama. They got their facilities supposedly are better than anybody's in the state from what I have heard. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that a lot of schools are trying to, you know, are doing their facility, trying to get better with what the Alberta. I noticed there was a lot of construction going on for their athletic facilities last night.
Well, I talked to Robert Evans at Vestavia. And now Robert Evans, let me tell you what Robert Evans has done at Vestavia, because Myra Miles is now their athletic director. Now, for years, Myra Miles was the athletic director at Hoover during Rush's run and during most of Josh's run. But then when Jeremy Pruitt got the head football job at Tennessee, he called Myra immediately. She was the athletic director at Hoover while he was a defensive coordinator with Rush. And he said, I need you to come up here and be my personal assistant. So Myra goes there, does a tremendous job working channels in the SEC. And when Jeremy, his whole crew, is released at Tennessee, Myra comes back, going to retire in Birmingham. Vestavia does a smart thing. They hire Myra Miles as their athletic director and when Buddy retired. And so now they've brought Robert Evans in. They hired the director of football operations from Hoover, who's been running that program for 8 years. They hired the strength and conditioning coach from Chris Yeager at Mountain Brook, where Robert had been the defensive coordinator. They hired about four coaches that I recognized as some of the premier assistant coaches in this state. Watch for Vestavia to see what they do now. And they've got plenty of money because Myra's getting out in that community and working with the government officials. They're going to build something really special at Vestavia before it's over. That's the next one.
I have no doubt about that. Vestavia is a very proud community.
Yep.
And they're going to do whatever it takes to help get that program built back in the way that Buddy Anderson established it years ago in the professional manner, and they got the right people to do that. I think I think you're right, Rick. I think these guys are at Vestavia made the right hires. They know what they want to do. They have a vision in mind, and they're going to get it done. I think it'll be a big, big deal here in the next few years.
You know, when you think about locally who's doing that, who comes to mind when you think of a school in this area that's really headed in that direction? I'm anxious to hear you don't probably get around as much as I do over on the other side of the bay, but I can tell
Sarah
you
Lansley,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, they've got a superintendent that's all about the best education you can get and the best athletic facilities you can get, and he came from Enterprise.
Right.
He's of the Bill Bacon tree, the Thad Morgan tree, the superintendent there forever. And I can tell you right now, I'm going to tell you his name later. I cannot get my phone to work. But I tell you who it is. I can tell you right now. It just came to me. It's Dr. Aaron Milner. He's a superintendent over at Saraland, and boy, is he forthright. He is doing everything he can to make their academics number one and athletics 1A. And Jeff Kelly and Brett Batwell and that group, they have got tremendous facilities, and they're not finished, I don't think.
I don't think so either. And I think that is that's the bread and butter of a school to get to the highest level. When you've got somebody in charge who sees the importance of the whole kid, everything that you can possibly put together for a player or an athlete or a person, drama, music, band, theater, everything that you can, and in athletics and academics, all of it makes for a school that people want to have their kids a part of. Because what's the greatest thing to me is I've sat in stands and heard parents say, "Hey, did you hear about about the play the school put on the other night?
Yeah.
It was sold out."
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you something. That's pretty special.
No doubt. When you hear that conversation.
Yeah. The arts and athletics are huge.
Academics, it's all a part.
First hour coming on. Second hour, we will talk with Mark Hudspeth, the head football coach for the Dolphins of Gulf Shores. He is up next right here on the Prep Sports Report. Don't touch that dial.
Time for the Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lesseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Charleston Guest Leonard's Prep Sports Report, presented by Alphen, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Coach, that first hour went by extremely fast. Going to have a very fast second hour. Mark Hudspeth, the head football coach for the Dolphins of Spanish Fort, due up next.
Yeah, and we're efforting Coach Hudspeth and what's probably going to have to happen. Sometimes in live radio, these things happen. We can't, for whatever reason, we can't call out from the radio station, so we're asking Coach Hudspeth to call us at 251-343-0106. And so we'll
have him on here in just a minute.
Yeah, we'll have him on in just a minute. So,
Well, let me go ahead and set up the second hour. The rest of the show for you. Coming up in the next segment, we'll have Jeff Price on with us. Jeff is the color analyst for Friday Night Rivals over in the Panhandle on WEAR-TV3. So excited to have him on. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk with one of the really spirited players along the Gulf Coast, Cole Blaylock with UMS Wright, will be up at 9:30. But right now, we are going to go to our Pops communication line. I believe that we have Coach Hudspeth on right now. Coach, thanks for taking time out on a busy Saturday morning. Congrats on the win.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you having us on. Excited to be 1-0, and hopefully now we can move our sights to improving and hopefully show a lot of improvement between week one and week two.
Mark, Rick Cleveland here, and game kind of starts off in an odd way. You very rarely see the opening kickoff of the opening game of the season with an onside kick, and I'm sure that in as many years as you've been doing this in at the college level, now at the high school level, have you ever seen that? Was that a big surprise to you?
You wouldn't expect it, with the exception of last year. They do that all the time. I mean, they do it two or three times a game. And so that's just part of what they do with their kickoff scheme. And so we had, worked it an awful lot. And matter of fact, we even moved up Ronnie Royal, Braden Jackson. We had our best players on the team with the best hands up front. So we tried to do all we could do to be ready for it, because we felt like it was coming, just with the fact they do it all the time. And give them credit, they executed it well. And not only did they get the onside kick, you sort of steal that momentum of the game right out of the chute. But the biggest thing that I was proud of is after they scored on the opening drive, we come back and scored 28 unanswered points. And I just thought that was a good sign for our team not to panic. We gave up an onside kick, gave up a score. Let's settle down and play football.
Coach, what do you think after doing that? There's a lot, you think about your team and what y'all did, and that has got to be a big confidence boost for y'all to come back and then put those 28 points right on the board and not really let – they didn't get back into the game until what was in the late third or fourth quarter. They came 28-14.
Yeah, and then it was 34-14. And then not a very good head coaching move by Coach Hudd, for sure, because – late in the fourth quarter, I decided to empty the benches, because we had a bunch of guys. In the summertime, everybody's putting in the work, not just the starters. I mean, your ninth grade, your JV, your backups, they're putting in the same amount of work. So I put in guys wanting to get everybody on the field, and sure enough, we exposed ourselves a little bit, and they were able to get back in the game. They did a great job doing that. And then we was fortunate enough that our guys stepped up once again when challenged, like they were in the first quarter, and made plays when they had to, and we was able to get out of there with a big road win.
We're visiting with Coach Mark Hudspeth, the head football coach for the Dolphins of Gulf Shores. Coach, you look at that lineup, and you had a couple of kids that just really stood out there. Ronnie Royal, you mentioned him a few moments ago, three touchdowns. Gardner Kidd had two. So talk a little bit about those two kids.
Well, Ronnie Royal, right now I think he's one of the top 10 juniors in the state, and he might be one of the top 10 junior athletes in the state, but I tell you, I don't know if there's a harder worker, better person in the country. He is a phenomenal young man, and he's going to make somebody's program better just by him being in the program. He does everything for us. He hands out water. He sells coupon books. I mean, you have it for your team, and he's there. And so he's an incredible player. He had over 200 yards of total offense the other night also. And then defensively, he played awfully well. I think he had 9 tackles. And then he had 2 onside kick recoveries, because St. Paul tried 2 more of those onside kicks, and he was the guy that caught the other 2. And so he does it all for us. And J.R. Gardner's a senior running back, and he's a guy that's going to play on Saturday at some level. He's had a really good camp for us, and he's a guy that can hit it too, and he's a two-way player for us. Both those guys are playing both ways for us, so they go with a lot of snaps. They've got great endurance.
Mark, you and I have both been around the Sun Belt Conference, and of course you've been in several other conferences, but at the same time, even the SEC, when you look at a Ronnie Royal, is this young man an offensive running back, or is he a secondary player on defense?
The guys at the next level are going to have to sort of decide, because I think he can be effective at the college level at a corner, or I think that he can definitely be a slot receiver at the college level. Right now the backs seem to be getting bigger, but he can play running back at the next level too. But I think most people right now are looking at him at the corner position. He is just an elite competitor. Brings it every single day. And so that the way he prepares, practices, works, he's different. There's a lot of good players out there, but some of the ones that put in the work, that prepare, he's different. Me and you have seen those few players that come along so often.
Mark, one of the things about that, too, that tells me this. than what you and your defensive coordinator, who all have college experience, Ronnie Royal must have great hip flex. He must have great hip flex if he can play corner like that.
He does. He's got great hips, and you know he's 0 to 60 in just a matter of seconds, and so you know he can get to top speed really quickly. He's got great explosion, and the thing about it, he's got incredible ball skills. He's got a very high football IQ, and I mean he's playing in Paul Roach's defensive scheme. And so we're not just lining up playing cover three. Sometimes I'm like, holy cow, we're doing too much. I mean, Ronnie is picking up all of that and then playing offense and then learning all of the special teams. And so he knows more than I know because I don't know all the defense right now. Because Paul runs the defense.
Hey, well, Paul might go to cover zero. Yeah, well, Paul might go to cover zero one time and fool you a little bit too.
he likes a little cover zero too, I tell you.
Hey, Coach, who do y'all have up next? I know you next week y'all getting be playing somewhere. Who are y'all playing next? I haven't seen your schedule this week.
We start area play next week with Centronelle coming to town. So it'll be our first home game. I saw that I didn't expect what had happened last night to happen, but nevertheless it did. And so, but they're still coming to our place. They were a tough team. They had a good looking team last year. Was able to win on the rope. They had a good looking outfit. And so, you know, we've got to make sure that we just show a lot of improvement from week one to week two, and hopefully we can do that.
You know, Mark, one of the things that really excites me about what's going on in Baldwin County is Orange Beach and Gulf Shores have now started their own school systems. That's going to become a really good rivalry for you guys. I can only imagine a stadium being packed when that game's played. And I know you don't look that far down the road, but that's going to be some kind of rivalry.
Well, you know, right now it's they call it a huge rivalry, but it's really not because, you know, we don't play. We would love to play. And so, you know, hopefully one day they'll agree to play us. And I think that would be great for the island down here. It'd be great for the schools because you're obviously going to make a giant gain on those games. And not just in football, but basketball, baseball, all the sports. Yeah. I think it would just be great for the island, create some great competition.
Absolutely. Coach, listen, thanks for taking time out to be with us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Congrats on the win. Good luck against Citronelle on Friday night. Look forward to having you back on real soon.
Guys, we appreciate all you guys do for high school football down there. Y'all do a great job. Thanks again, and have a great day.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Mark Hudspeth right there with Gulf Shores. Hey, he's got Citronelle, goes into region play.
Yeah.
Then he'll host Faith Academy, and then he comes over to see y'all over at UMS, Rick.
It's going to be a barn burner. I can tell you right now, they're loaded with athletes. And he's not kidding. What Paul does on the defensive side of the ball is pretty interesting. Those guys got college experience, and they're watering it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're still playing schemes like they do in college. So it's going to be real interesting.
Hey, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to go over to the Emerald Coast. We'll go to the Panhandle of Florida, talk some Florida football with Jeff Price. He's up next right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, as we go to our Pops communication line. Welcome in a good friend of ours. He is, guys, he's got a new title. Are you ready for that, Coach? New title. He is our Florida Panhandle correspondent.
There you go. Checks in the mail, Jeff.
That's right. Jeff Price is on with us. Jeff, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How y'all doing today?
We are doing fabulous, man, doing fabulous. Of course, Jeff, the color analyst on Friday Night Rivals there in the Panhandle, WEAR-TV. And Jeff, always good to hang out with you. I know Coach has got a question for you. We just loaded with a bunch of questions. As y'all kick off, actually, Florida will start their season opener next week, correct?
That is correct. They played a bunch of kickoff classic last night.
You know, Jeff, one of the things that has bothered me for the last ever how many years this has been in effect, and I know you've been on with Randy and Mark before. It's been my first time to catch you, but the way Florida is allowing student athletes to play football at one school, basketball at another school, and baseball at another school, or whatever sports, without making a bona fide move into another district, how does that all go about, Jeff? I mean, it just does not make any sense to me at all.
Yeah, I mean, last time I was on, we talked a little bit about it, and I have no problem continuing it on because it is something I'm with you. I grew up, you know, you got to have a little loyalty to where you're at. You know, if you want to make that, if you want to go trade schools, that's fine, but it's going to take an arm and a leg to get it done. Now, obviously, in Florida, and it started because of South Florida. They were the ones that really pushed to get this done, and obviously they have the majority. But for a kid, you know, we see it a little bit here on the Panhandle. You know, I've seen some kids transfer from Catholic to Scambia, from Washington to, you know, maybe PHS or whatever it may be to get that opportunity. It's not as big here as you would think, but it's still, there are some, you know, Tyquan Stabler, I use him as an example. That kid was a phenomenal freshman at Pensacola Catholic last year for Coach Adams, and now he is in the backfield with the former quarterback at Washington High School, Amiel Steele. So they've got two transfers just in their backfield who are phenomenal, two of the top players in our area. So it's got to be frustrating for coaches because you talk about in college having now to, with NIL and all this other thing, and that's a whole different can of worms I'm not going to get into, but you basically got to re-recruit your players just like college does. So to me, it's just so aggravating. And everybody asked me, you know, they asked me at the beginning of the summer, hey, what do you think about this team? I'll be like, I'll let you know the week before kickoff whenever they finalize their rosters because I have no clue who's going to be where.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's strange to me that the kid can play football, score four touchdowns in a football game, and then when basketball season comes, he's the leading scorer on the other team that they just beat in football. He's the leading scorer on that team's basketball team. That's just
because no, you can't build loyalty. That's
no,
for
there
sure.
is no loyalty.
Yeah, it's
but we're kind of beating the dead horse to death there, Jeff. Thank you. And I know you get tired of talking about that because I would drive me crazy. And having been in this business for 40 plus years, and Mark been in it almost that long, I don't understand why that would happen. But I guess in South Florida, with all the things going on there, they just about felt like that they had to eliminate some of the things, the violations that were going on, and fix it. Tell us who the teams to watch in the Panhandle are.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give you probably my top three this year. We actually have our game for Friday Night Rivals is Escambia at West Florida. Now, West Florida's got a personnel change. Coach Summerford is now at Tate, and Harry Lees, who was at Milton, who originally was started at West Florida Tech, who started to build that dynasty they had, now he's back at West Florida. So West Florida, you know, watched them a little bit in their kickoff classic game last night. Markel Redding, their quarterback, did a great job. They've got a lot of depth, which is something that Coach Summerford built when he was there. And Coach Bennett at Escambia, again, I just mentioned their quarterback in Amiel Steele. This young man, he's about 5'10", not the biggest guy, but he has an electric arm. He can run around the pocket. He is just tough to bring down. He makes smart decisions. And then Tyquan Stabler in the backfield, last year he was a freshman running back. The kid is just a horse back there. So, you know, those are two of the three top teams. Obviously the defense, Coach Bennett, for them, you know it's going to be state championship or bust. They made a big run a couple years ago. You know, when I look at it again, my other team, it's tough. You know, Niceville's always going to be good. You know, Gulf Breeze, the coach is doing a great job over there. Man, I got to have my three. This is I'm going to go, obviously, Pine Forest. I can't leave Pine Forest out. The run they made in the state championship last year. You know, Coach Douglas coming in did a really great job building those guys up. They lost a couple of defensive players going Division One, but they have rebuilt. They've got a lot of the same depth. They've got the same backfield. Those guys, I tell you, when you look at Pine Forest, Escambia, and West Florida, it is going to be tough to beat any of those teams any given night. And luckily for us, you know, we get Escambia, West Florida next Friday.
It'll be fun. That'll be a fun game. And by the way, watch it. Okay, Jeff does a great job. He along with Christian, and it's a lot of fun to watch these guys. Visit with Jeff Price, color analyst for Friday Night Rivals over in the Panhandle, WAR TV's sister station. Hey, I got to ask you one question, Jeff, because I get this asked of me quite a bit. In Alabama, we have 7 classifications. In Florida, it's a little different. You have like class 1M, class 1R, class 1S, and then it goes to the 2s. Can you explain that real quick?
Yes and no. So we're still trying to figure it out over here sometimes. You got Northview, my old alma mater there. And Northview, we'll get to call one of their games. Actually, I believe me and you will get to call a game, Randy, together, the Baker at Northview game. But yeah. They're 1A rural. So I guess what it is when I was in school, we used to have to travel 3.5 hours to go to our closest team just to for the same classification. We didn't get to play Jay. They were a different classification. Well, now they basically grouped all these. I call it, just simplified this. Don't take this to the grave, will you? But all the country teams out there, Baker, Jay, Northview, teams like that, kind of out in the middle of nowhere pretty much. And I am from there, so I am glad to say out in the middle of nowhere. But they're the rural teams. They're smaller than the certain classification, but they're kind of their own entity. So I guess it kind of makes it a little fair, because you have a regular 1A school from South Florida probably ain't going to match up too well with a 1A from Northview or Baker, when that 1A school from South Florida is nothing but a private school going out there recruiting kids. So that's my guess. I've asked about that and haven't gotten the same answer twice. So.
it is a little confusing. We've only got about 2 minutes left, Coach. Did you have a question, Mark?
Your rivals program, how do y'all determine which games you're going to call that week? Do you set up for the whole year? And how do people go about seeing? And can you stream it live if you're, like, living in Mobile?
Yeah, so everything will be streamed live on WEAR3's website and the mobile app. You can check it out there. They'll have it streaming live all the time. We will be on WFGX 35 for your cable channels out there. And how we pick games, well, that's Dan Shugart. Dan the man's been doing it forever. He tries to go through and pick the best games he thinks of the year. He always picks rivalry games, even though sometimes the records aren't the best and it may not be the best game out there. We try to pick those games, and they usually don't disappoint. Like I said, Dan's been doing pretty good for so long now, and we appreciate him.
Yeah,
but sometimes if we feel we need to change the game, we will. But our schedule, you can check it out at WAR3 under the sports tab, and we've got our full schedule out there.
It's a lot of fun. If you've been watching high school football in Alabama, watch a little Florida football. It's really interesting.
It is.
Same feel for those guys,
yes.
I can promise you. But we're looking forward, as always, Jeff, and Coach, you'll love this. When we do our live shot,
yeah,
they have to either put him in a little bit of a lower spot in the field in a ditch,
yeah,
or get me a crate to stand on. Jeff's a big boy.
I feel your pain, brother.
I'm not going there. She'll be all over me. But, you're a Northview graduate. I coached at Northview in Dothan, and we played a bunch of Florida schools. Of course, we went down into Fort Walton, played Choctahatchee, and that big Indian chief coming out and putting that spear in the middle of the field. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, that fired our kids up more than fired theirs up.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jeff, listen, man, I know you're getting ready to play some softball. Where are you? Are you in Bay Minette today?
I am in Bay Minette today.
There you go. Well, that's a place you're pretty familiar with. So, hey, thanks for taking time to be with us. Good luck in your softball today, and I look forward to hanging out with you in a couple of weeks, my friend.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
There you go,
Jeff Price.
He does a great job.
Yeah,
he can talk some football, I can promise you. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk football with one of the players at UMS Wright, Cole Blaylock. He's up next right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Hey, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We are rolling through week zero here in high school football. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, and Coach, we have a very special guest on our Pops Communication line.
Well, we sure do. We have Cole Blaylock from UMS Wright. had a tremendous night last night in a 21-14 win over St. Paul's, up on the hill at St. Paul's. And Cole had 237 all-purpose yards. He ran the ball 26 times, Mark, for a little over 110 yards and two touchdowns. He returned a kickoff 92 yards for a touchdown. And, guys, as the game was winding down on the last play of the game, Jay Cozio puts Cole Blaylock back there at safety. What's he do, Mark?
Pick the ball off.
He intercepts pass. That's right. Cole, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing good. You sound just kind of just another day. Just another day. And I can promise you, before this day's over, there will be a hook in a line in the water.
Yes, there will.
And he will be fishing somewhere.
If you're a Blaylock, you must fish.
That's exactly right. And his mom was a good fisherman, yeah, too. And his sister's a good fisherman. And his daddy's a good fisherman.
Yep.
How you feel this morning, Cole?
A little sore, but other than that, I'm feeling great.
Talk about the football game. As you prepared for this football game, was there anything in watching film that made you think that you could have the kind of night that you had last night and your team had that kind of night that you had?
Honestly, just the team coming together. Like, we really did start coming together those last couple weeks, especially like that Cam Grace week. I think we really started meshing really well, and that gave me confidence, and we all knew we had each other's backs, and I think that's very much what did it.
Cole, tell our listeners what Coach Curtis and the staff do with that week out at Camp Grace.
Okay, so we go out there and we basically have this big team bonding thing. Like, we have some two-a-days and then some practices, and we just do team meetings and learn everything. But also, you have time to, like, bond with your teammates. Like, we stay in cabins with one with a senior, a sophomore, a junior, and a freshman. And it's really just great for team bonding. It's really awesome.
One of the team bonding things, I think, is when you get on the ropes. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir, it is.
That's got to be something, Mark. I know you guys have been out there before.
It's unbelievable.
When you get on those ropes and you got to, I mean, you're, what, 20, 25 feet high, Cole, and you got to depend on each other to keep yourself from falling. So that's got to be something that really is a bond for your team. And as we talk about last night a little bit, Cole, running the ball 26, 27 times, and then getting in the slot, and you catch a touchdown pass. Where are you the most comfortable playing? What position is the most comfortable for you?
Probably running back. That's just where I've been playing for as long as I can remember from football. But, I mean, I'm still very comfortable out in the slot. I mean, I'm even comfortable in safety in those long passing situations. I mean,
yeah.
They've done a great job catching me like that, so I feel comfortable wherever I go.
Hey, Cole, this is Randy. Congratulations again on the win. Great game for you. But talk a little bit, as a running back, you know, it's hard for you to make those big plays if you don't have those ugly guys up front blocking for you. Talk a little bit about your front line.
Oh, man, they blocked their butts off last night. They did a great job. Just about every time it seemed like there was a hole open for me to run through, and that's about all you can ask for. They did a great job, and I'm sure I'll get them some donuts or something on Monday.
Donuts. That's my kind of guy right there.
That's good stuff. Get them some donuts.
Get them some donuts.
Now, Cole, let me tell you what you got to do. You got to tell your mom and dad, I need Dewdrop hot dog money. You get every one of those offensive linemen one of those Dewdrops, and I can tell you, they'll be extremely happy if they get a Dewdrop.
That's true.
That's a good idea. So, as this game progressed, talk a little bit about the heat and the humidity in last night during the game. I know how well conditioned Coach Curtis has our team, but talk a little bit about the heat and the humidity that you faced last night.
The heat and humidity was brutal last night. Especially with it raining all day before that, it made it super muggy. But, I mean, offense was barely on the field like the entire last half. Our defense stood strong. I mean, they went through a lot of stuff from going right back off after the kickoff return. And they had, like, two or three long drives right in the row. I mean, the first half, the offense was definitely going through it for sure. We were controlling the ball that half, but it was definitely difficult.
Hey, Cole, we just got a text here, and we were talking about that offensive line.
Yeah.
And somebody wants to throw a big shout out to big number 73, Hayden Brill.
Oh, yeah.
What about Hayden?
He has become a player. He got so much bigger over this offseason, and he is a monster. He's gotten so big, he just moves everybody where he wants them to go.
Well, and you talk about two guys that really helped that. Brandon Dean coaches offensive line, but he's got a lot of help there too. He's got Steve Campbell, who's former head coach at South Alabama, who has just been a great asset to our staff at UMS Wright. And I know the kids love him, and it's just something that is a great asset to have a guy like Steve Campbell there to help us. And so, Cole, as you look forward to next week, kind of talk about how you rest your body over the next couple of days to get ready to go right back at it on Monday.
Again, it's just like you said. I just lay down for a little bit and then go put a line in the water. It's very simple. I'm going to ask you. That's all you
got to do. That's a great combination right there, man. I love it.
It's just like the Blaylocks. Mikey was always – when I was there at UMS back in 2009 down to 2010, he and I talked about fishing all the time. He's forgotten more about fishing than I will ever know. And so I can only imagine his son is really going to be able to get out there and throw some, catch some fish. And that's an awesome way to spend your weekend, man. Nothing better than that. Nothing better. Nothing better for your soul.
Yes, sir, for real.
You know, one of the guys that I really think the world of and love is Mark Gatlin, and that's Cole's grandfather. And I can imagine Mark keeps wisdom coming your way almost daily. What was his what were the main things that Mark stressed to you, along with your mom and daddy? You got a great athletic family, and then you got a sister who's a tremendous athlete as well. But talk a little bit about some of the words of wisdom that your grandpa gives you.
I mean, right before the game, it was like before a pregame meal or something, I saw him. He was like, "Go out there, play your tail, I'll show him what you can do." And then hugged me and told me he was proud of me. And ended up working out.
He's a really good guy, and we love him at UMS. Well, Cole, look, thank you for coming on. You had a great game last night. Our team, I thought, performed when we had to perform. I thought St. Paul kind of controlled the second half offensively. UMS controlled the ball offensively in the first half. But it was a snobber knocker at the end, and the interception had to be something. You're just kind of playing center field and reading the quarterback's eyes, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, you just know who he's going to there. Like Spencer, he made a fantastic play in the end zone like right before that. And I know that's his favorite target, so that's probably right. Who the ball's going to.
Now, is that the Marston kid? Is that who that
yes,
is?
Sir.
Yes, sir. Boy, he can run too, can't he? He sure can run. I can tell you that. Cole, thanks a bunch, pal. Have a great day. Say hello to mom and dad and that beautiful sister of yours and your grandfather, too. Congratulations on a great win, and I know that you guys are excited and looking forward to next week as well.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Thank you.
Take care, pal.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Cole. Hey, they'll take on T.R. Miller next week.
That's going to be interesting. That's two storied programs, I'm going to tell you. I had Terry on the show this week, and you know who – this is good, Mark. Terry, I said, Terry, tell me when you first took the job, who did you try to look at as a team to try to emulate what they were doing? He said, no doubt. It was Jamie Riggs, T.R. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because they didn't just play the teams they had to play. They played the best football teams they could play to get where they wanted to get to. And that's what he did. He modeled UMS after what Jamie Riggs was doing at T.R. Miller, and it's done pretty well.
You know, and he, Coach Curtis and Coach Riggs, something they have in common. You don't see a lot in high school football anymore. Always wear a tie.
They do. Well, maybe all of that came from Jamie. I don't know. I think Terry's done it the whole time, though. When he was at Shaw, he wore a tie. So that's two pretty good football coaches, guys. And it's not real. Listen, you know better than I do, Mark. What those two guys do offensively is not real complicated. And there's not a big package either.
They're just very good at what they do.
Man,
It didn't matter what you put in front of them. They know how to block it. They know how to do it because they do what they do, and that's what and it doesn't matter what you try to do defensively.
No.
They're going to do what they do. They make slight adjustments to it, but it all comes back to the same thing.
I got to mention real quick your headmaster. Doug Barber, got to throw his name in here. A show cannot go by without throwing his name in here. We will probably see him at Boone's Thai Kitchen, in about an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, if he's not on the river.
Well, that's become his ritual. He goes to Boone's Thai Kitchen, brings the family, they eat, then they go on the river.
Well, that's pretty good day.
Well, you know, it's so cool. I'm not at UMS anymore, as we all know, but when I was there, Doug's boy, Grant was there. Now, Jeb was way too young. He was playing probably in the youth league, but I didn't get to coach him. But I got to coach Grant. And then Mikey, they had Cole, I think, while I was there. He was just a little bitty fella when I was coaching there. And the great thing about it is, as you get older and you see what these kids become, I'm just listening to Cole Blaylock. What a humble spirit.
Oh, he is that. Yeah.
What a humble spirit that kid has. And it just refreshes your soul. Grant Barber's the same way.
Yep.
He was the same way in 7th and 8th grade when I had him when I was coaching as he was when I saw him at the convention. Now he's coaching at UMS, and I saw him at the convention, sat down, talked with him. Humble spirit. Guy that just loved people. And their mamas and daddies have done a great job. Kudos to you guys.
There is no doubt. No doubt. All right. Boy, time is flying by. When we come back, this is the Grace segment. Coach Mark Glaster will guide you through it. Don't go anywhere. More PSR right after this.
Keep up with PSR every day. Follow Prep Sports Report online at facebook.com/PrepSportsReport1065. Follow on Twitter at twitter.com/PSR_1065. This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, when we were talking earlier this morning, guys, about what we see on Friday nights and what we see during basketball season, we see it during golf, we see it all the time that nobody ever really talks about. And I don't think I think I have done a disservice many times on our radio show, but not talking enough about things that we witness and things that we see. That kids do great when nobody else is looking. We always talk about, we're continually, and kids love discipline, don't get me wrong. They need discipline. Everybody needs discipline, and they get it from love. If they get it from loving households, you get kids like we talked about, Cole and Grant and Jeb and those kids that we know and we've watched grow up. You know, we see those things because they have that. But when you're out in a ball game, and I told you guys a little while ago, I saw it last night, and I saw it from an Alberta kid, and it was so great. I don't know who he is. Don't have a clue. But I watched the game. It was rough. I mean, it was hot. As Cole was saying a minute ago, it was hot, muggy, and people were getting tired and it was sloppy, it was wet, people slipping, balls falling down. It was a sloppy ball game. I don't know, there's no other way to say it. But it was a lot of fun to watch because it was very exciting, especially toward the end. But as you watch the game progress and you see the game progress and you see just happen to catch glimpses of things. I saw their linebacker. It was a defensive tackle. He came through the backfield and tackled our running back in the backfield for a loss or something. And he reached down, our back was laying on the ground, not hurt or anything like that, but he reached down and grabbed his hand and picked him up and patted him on the head. Not showboating, not doing anything, but it, to me, when I saw it happen, I see these things happen, I want to say this is what we don't talk about on social media enough. This is what we don't make sure that we make it like it is a big to-do. We don't sensationalize the great things that children do every single day. Every day. We want to sensationalize the negative things that happen in our world. That's become our MO, and to me, in our country. And it is so sad because there are kids who do great things every day. You know, there are kids that wake up. There are kids in the listening area here that getting out of bed, getting themselves dressed, and getting themselves to school by themselves,
yeah,
is a miracle. And they do it every day. There are kids who go home from football practice not sure if they're going to have supper that night or anything to eat. There are kids who go home to a house where they are not loved, period. Doesn't matter what socioeconomic level it is. And so we need to try, I mean, myself, this is me, I'm talking about Mark. I need to do a better job of sensationalizing the great things that kids do. And it may just be a handshake. It may just be a pat on the back. It might be opening the door for somebody at a Walmart or at a store somewhere where you're just going in there and you just are kind. Because we don't talk, you know, and I see that. I watched that boy from Alberta last night, and it just thrilled my heart. Right there during the middle of the ball game, I was like, holy cow, that's awesome. You know, the touchdowns were great, and we had a little two-point conversion stop, and I got to give a shout-out to my boys, Wills and Teague and Tate. They made the tackle there on the goal line that saved the game, you know. They were going for two. And it was great to see those kids' excitement and enthusiasm for what they had done on the play. But, man, I wish I had a picture or some way I could say, this right here is as important to us going forward in our world today as the goal line stop was.
I talked to Adam Fawcett this week on High School Sports Today. Adam Fawcett is a football coach at B.B. Comer.
Right.
And he's been a head coach for about 15 years. Yep. He won big at Winterboro. He went to Smith Station, had two not very good years. He got the job at B.B. Comer after a good buddy of ours, Mike Battles, tried to turn that program around. It just couldn't happen. As a matter of fact, they were just about to discontinue the program at B.B. Comer. A storied program.
No
Bobby
doubt.
Overton. Bobby
Man.
Overton did an unbelievable
yes,
job
he did.
At that school. And that's some proud, proud folks at B.B. Comer. I'm telling you, when Avondale Mills left Sylacauga, it just about debilitated yeah. that entire yeah. community. But Adam Fawcett has gone in there, and he's been 19-5 the last two seasons. And one of our buddies up in North Alabama has penciled them in to be in the state championship this year. They had a tough night last night at Dade. But Adam, every Thursday night, he says, Coach, you know, these kids don't come from the best socioeconomic places, but they're great kids. And some of them, you know, may go home some nights and not have anything for supper.
Right.
Every Thursday night, he has them over to his house. They eat a lot of pizza. They just have fun. They play all those games that they can play outside, and they have fellowship. You know, as coaches, that's part of our job. I mean, it really is. It's not something that they write down as for us to do, but as coaches, we see coaches all over the state that feed kids on a daily basis in their homes, take them out, do whatever they can. If coaches know that situation that you're talking about, Mark, I don't know of a coach in this state that won't get money out of his pocket to feed those children.
Absolutely.
That's just the way as one guy said that never coached a game in Alabama, that's the way we roll in Alabama.
Right.
You know, and that's just that is the way coaches roll, and there's so many of them. I see coaches every day at UMS helping kids out, doing little things for them just to help them get through the day. But it's that way in Russellville. It's that way in Florence. It's that way in Flomaton and Fife. All over this state, coaches doing everything they can to make sure that those kids, and some of them aren't even football players. Some of them are just kids that are in school.
Just kids in school.
That's right.
That's right.
And so, yeah, we need to do a better job of being
kind.
We do.
I mean, I've even thought about, you know, having, because one thing we're working really hard on is doing a better job of getting videos and things of our kids and stuff that's happening, because they love to see it.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody to kind of have an idea, you know, have a camera that just watches for things like that during the game. And then when it's done, boom, we post that on. Not maybe the touchdown.
That's awesome.
Maybe not the field goal or the punt. Maybe it's that kid picking somebody else off the field.
Last thing, everybody saw the Little League kid in the regional tournament.
Go
kid
on.
Gets hit. He gets hit, and he and the boy were playing a video game the night before their opponents. Kid gets hit. The pitcher's crying on the mound. The kid that gets hit goes over and hugs him.
Hugs him.
Awesome.
Great stuff.
That's good stuff. Randy, thank you so much for
Glad
being
here.
You have made this show so much better.
Thank you.
Mark, it's so good to see y'all. I guess we're out.